For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Welcome back here to Hurricane Hotline Hollywood, along with you to talk some Canes hoops, who came up with a big win in their opener, beating FDU by a final score of 113-72. 11 new faces here on this Hurricanes team, and boy, we got to see it all on display in what was a fantastic overall effort. Miami shooting a very, very high percentage from the field. Only attempted 17 threes in the game. They were 46 of 69 from the field, and that was good for 66%. Miami with 113 points. That is the most points a Hurricanes team has scored since February 28th of 1987. And that 66.7 field goal percentage tied a program record for single game field goal percentage, which was last set in 2005. Not only did the Canes put up 113 points, shooting almost 67%, but 10 different players were able to score for Miami in this game, led by Lynn Kidd, who had a monster game in his Hurricanes debut, 24 points to go along with 9 rebounds. He was 10 of 11 from the field. Nigel Pack had his usual big game, 21 points for Pack on 9 of 11 shooting. And you look at the rest of this roster, they were able to contribute as well. Divine Ugochukwu with 15 points coming off the bench in just 14 and a half minutes. Brandon Johnson went for 7. He had A.J. State and McCray go for 7. Matthew Cleveland, who had the early dunk of the season, he went for 9. And Jaleel Bethia, making his Hurricanes debut, the freshman, played 12 and a half minutes, and he had 9 points as well. One of the great stories from the opening win for the Hurricanes, Jalen Blackman, who played 21 minutes. He goes 6 of 10 from the field, 15 points in his Hurricanes debut. I had a chance to speak to him after Miami's blowout win over FDU. All right, we are with Jalen Blackman here after Miami's 113-72 win over FDU. Jalen, first off, great to have you with us here, and congratulations on the win. Must have felt good to get out there.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to be out here with my new teammates. It was awesome.
Fresh faces out here, a lot of fresh faces for Hurricanes fans. How did that feel, game number one? Obviously a great offensive performance by you guys, but seemed like you guys have been playing together for a while, the way the cohesiveness out there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we got a lot of older guys, like graduate seniors, guys that are 22, 23 years old. So when a bunch of old guys come together that've been playing college basketball for a while, it was like a really easy transition. And then, as you can see, we got some young talent too that comes in and gives us a spark.
You know, one of the nice things I thought about today's game is you guys didn't settle for threes, right? You got to the basket, you got to the rim. There are a lot of dunks in this one. Certainly fans would enjoy that, but those are always high-percentage shots when you get to the basket like that, right? How important is that to not settle for the threes and to get to the rim, the high percentage?
For sure. So the coverages that FDU was playing was giving us more to the basket and more pull-ups and stuff like that, so we can play both ways. We can shoot a lot of threes, we can take it inside. We have a really good team that can do both.
Seems like you got a very well-rounded team as well. You had 10 guys that scored in this game tonight. Should make things interesting for coach as far as, you know, how to, you know, hand out the minutes for all you guys. But really, in 10 guys to get to score, that's got to feel good for this team.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's every day in practice. You gotta come ready to play because I'm going against young guys and older guys that push me every single day. So it makes us better for sure.
When you see a guy like Bethea, you know, out there, and he had his moments in the second half, but obviously he's going to get a lot better, and a bunch of the other young guys on this team too will continue to get better. How exciting is that, knowing that this team is just kind of in the beginning stages right now?
Yeah, so when he gets the ball, it's must-see TV. Every time he had it, I know I was up on my feet because he's such a crafty, bouncy, electric player. So just watching him every day, seeing him get better every day is great.
Hurricanes fans got a chance to see Lynn Kidd in uniform for the first time tonight as well, and he probably could have gone for 50 if he needed to out there. Boy, 6'10", 240, he's a dominant force. Talk about having a big guy like that underneath that you could feed the ball to, and he's athletic. He can do it all.
Yeah, he can. Like, this wasn't anything new. We see this every day through the summer. I think he shot, coach said, like 75-80%. So we see this every day. He plays the right way. He's easy to play with in pick and roll and stuff. So he's a great player.
Who's been the guy on this team that's kind of taken you under their wing a little bit and kind of, you know, showed you around Miami and the culture of this team and everything?
I'd say Nigel Pack. He's from Indiana. We're both from Indiana, and we both play similar playing styles. So I say he's showed me the way, showed me the system. Yeah, he's really good player too.
Tell me a little bit about that, coming from Indiana. Basketball's basically in your blood, right?
Yeah, for sure. That's what me and Nigel talk about that all the time. That's really all there is in Indiana is basketball and cornfields. So.
Did you have, like, I'm picturing, like, the Hoosiers movie. I mean, you've seen Hoosiers, right? I mean, is that, like, in Indiana? Everyone in Indiana. Because I'm talking to younger guys. I don't know who's seen these movies anymore, but you've seen Hoosiers, right?
I've seen it a while ago. I don't remember much of it, but I've seen it, though, for sure.
I'm picturing one of those, like, baskets out in the middle of the cornfield. You guys have those over there?
Yeah.
All right, I do want to ask you, though, about Nigel on the court. And everything that he is able to bring to the table and the leadership that he brings to this team on the floor, how important is that?
Yeah, so he's been here for 3 years, so he knows the system the best. And it feels like when he has the ball, everybody's under control and stuff. And he doesn't miss many shots is what I've noticed since I've been here. So it's easy to play with him because he's always making the right plays, and he really can score it as well.
Coach Larrañaga, what has that been like for you? I'll be honest, he's one of the most impressive human beings I've ever been around. His basketball knowledge is just through the roof. And if you listen and let him teach you, man, he's special. What has your experience been like with him?
It's been great. It's been even better than I expected. I know he's coached a lot of guards that are playing where I want to play. So just learning from him, I'm trying to soak it all in and learn from him as much as I can every day.
Have you looked at some of the guys that came through this program recently? And obviously this program's had a ton of success, right? A couple years ago, they were in the Final Four. Have you looked at some of the guys that were successful and you try to model your game or either reach out? Has anyone, you know, reached out to you?
Not as much I'm reaching out, but when I was in the portal, I watched tons of old Miami games, the whole thing when they went to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. So watching them and seeing, already being familiar with the play style that Miami has was great for me.
All right, and one more for you. I got to ask you, the Matt Cleveland dunk in the first half, it's kind of an early candidate for dunk of the year. That one was pretty rough on poor number 7 over there, huh?
Yeah, that was awesome. We see that often too. He's been out a little bit for a concussion, so I know he's got some fresh legs. So
you must be, I'll leave you on this, so you must be really excited to put up 113 points in the opening game like this in front of the home fans. That's gotta just really feel good for you.
Yeah, it's great. We everybody's excited. We were tired of playing each other in practice every day and wanted to play somebody else. So it was great that we came out here and played well today.
Well, Jalen, I want to thank you for the time. Very exciting season opener here, a 113-72 win over FDU. Congratulations on the win, and we'll see you at the next one.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, that was Jalen Blackman after the Hurricanes' 113-72 win over FDU. Miami will get back at it on Sunday at the Watsco Center. They will host Binghamton. That is a 2 o'clock start. Interesting start to the season for the Canes here. You look at the schedule for Miami. So they will play again on Sunday, again at 2 o'clock. And then the Canes will be off until the following Sunday. They'll host Coppin State. That is also a 2 o'clock start. So back-to-back Sundays here with 2 o'clock starts for Miami to get this season underway. All right, plenty more to come here on Hurricane Hotline. We'll take a pause. More coming up next here on WQAM.
All right, Hollywood, thank you. All right, it's election night, and my vote goes to Williamson Cadillac, Miami's luxury dealership founded over 50 years ago. They are more than just a dealership. They are our friends. They are our neighbors. They know how to build a loyal client base because they stay focused on the customer experience. That's why they're always voted number one. Customers are treated like family. Ed Williamson, his lovely wife, Carol, Jeff Rogers over there, the general manager, Jermaine Chambers, former Hurricane. If you need a Cadillac, stop by and see Jermaine. He'll get you in a new Cadillac as quick as can be. You will enjoy world-class customer service when you purchase a new Cadillac from Williamson Cadillac. New vehicles are arriving every single day, which means whatever you are looking for, Williamson is sure to have that Cadillac. You want to rush in and experience Williamson Cadillac's preferred atmosphere? Easy to find on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. Before you make that little trip, you can go online to WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com. You want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM, driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, Don Bailey Jr., we have the college football playoff review. And if the season ended right now, the playoff would look this way. The teams that would not get a bye, the eight teams that would play in the first round playoff game, Alabama would be at Texas. Number 11, Alabama at number 5, Texas. Number 10, Notre Dame at number 7, Penn State. Number 9, Indiana at number 8, Tennessee. And number 12, Boise State at Ohio State. Those would be the on-campus games. Texas, Penn State, Tennessee, Ohio State. The top four teams are number 1, Oregon, number 2, Georgia, number 3, the Miami Hurricanes, and number 4, BYU. And so if the season ended right now, the Hurricanes would play a quarterfinal game at a bowl site against the winner of Alabama, Texas. How about that?
Boy, not a nice reward.
Right? We've waited 23 years to get into a playoff, and it's going to be Alabama or Texas.
Yeah, and that's fun.
If the season ended right now.
Yeah, boy, that's that's what it's about, baby. You want the best playing the best. Who was fourth after Miami, Joe? Boise? So, I mean, was it Brigham Young?
So BYU's number four.
Oh, BYU. Yeah. Okay. That's what BYU, I thought. Okay.
So it's Oregon, Georgia, Miami, BYU. They would get the byes, and the eight that would be playing in December. Let's see. Oh, can you imagine in December on a Friday night, Notre Dame at Penn State? The middle of December in Happy Valley? That's like playing in Green Bay.
Well, you know what? They deserve it. They all went to those places because they weren't worried about the weather. That's let them suffer with it.
Same goes for it would be Boise State at Ohio State on December what would that be? December 20th, somewhere around there. Oh, good grief.
Whew.
It's going to be fun. There's going to be some. I'll tell you.
So
what,
who's Oregon match up with? You say Miami would match up with the winner of the Bama Texas, right?
That's correct. At a bowl site.
Some bowl game.
I think
game.
It would be the Peach Bowl.
Well, the Peach Bowl. Yeah, that'd be our luck. The Hurricanes would go play Alabama and Atlanta.
Yeah.
a home field for the tie.
Because you would think that Georgia would be at the Sugar Bowl, BYU would be at the Fiesta Bowl, and Oregon would be at the Rose Bowl.
That's what you'd think.
Yeah,
that's what you think. Well, I got to start zooming in on. I got to start zooming in on these on Bama and Texas.
Yeah, that's the way. Well, that's that. But first things are first. Miami has to beat Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Syracuse, and then win a championship game. SMU is the first team out right now. So as you look at this, and now you start rooting for the teams that have lost to lose again to give you some cushion.
So you're talking about Bama losing again, Texas losing again, right? Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Penn State, they lose again. They lose again.
Yeah. Notre Dame, I don't ever mind seeing them lose again.
Right.
You know who, how about the year Indiana's having?
Unbelievable.
Well, and there's still a lot of football left for those guys to play.
Yeah,
that coach is funny. He's done a heck of a job.
They come from that's a football family.
Yeah. Well, what did they say when he got the job? Is they were asking, "Well, who are you?" He says, "Google me, I win." Isn't he the guy that said that?
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kirk said, "Signetti, yeah. Google me, I win."
Yeah. Google me, I win. I love that. It's the best answer ever. That's a good answer. Well.
We're going to have Wes Durham in about 10 minutes, but what I do want to do, I want to get to Restrepo and your conversation with him. One more catch, he becomes the all-time reception leader at the University of Miami. Right now, he's the all-time leader in receiving yards. Could you summarize his career?
I can, Joe. I think how I would use Restrepo for other future Hurricanes or for players that are even there now is maximize your career. This giant rush to leave early in an era where you're getting paid to stay. I think that Restrepo has done every single thing humanly possible to maximize his career. And the biggest part of it is that he spent 5 years at the University of Miami. Now, I give him great credit for having the endurance to and the ability to adapt. I mean, he endured head coaching changes. He endured multiple coordinators. He endured different quarterbacks. But he has adapted to everybody. And at the end of the day, I think if you ask him point blank, he'd tell you that by far this is his best year. And I say it more because not the catches. We knew he could do that. But how he has defined or refined his game without the football. And I think that's something that he needs to be commended about. But the other thing is, you know, he stays 5 years and he gets put into Iron Arrow last week, which is the highest honor achievable at the University of Miami. And I'll bet you a dollar bill that at some point in his life, he'll be proud of the receptions and he'll be proud of being number one. But I bet you when he digs in and gets older and realizes that award that he was granted at the University of Miami by Iron Arrow, that may be one of the biggest things that have happened in his life. And, you don't really realize it when you're 20 or 21 years old, but when you're 31 or 41 and 51, you certainly do. So I just commend him and his family for sticking it out, for holding up their end of the bargain. And that's really what they did.
All right. Well, he had the record setting catch on Saturday. And after the game, he spoke with Don Bailey Jr.
You know, Xavier, I've been waiting all season for this day. I really have. So glad that you came back for your final year here at the University of Miami. Your day today was 8 catches, 146 yards, 3 touchdowns, but you're now the all-time leading receiver in the history of this place, of the University of Miami. How's that feel?
Feels amazing. First and foremost, I just want to thank God, my Lord and Savior. Without him, none of this is possible at all. And then also, secondly, I want to thank my teammates. I have a great group of guys around me. Without, Cam throwing me the ball, without all my old linemen blocking, without my running backs running hard, without the other receivers getting open too, none of this would be possible. So a big shout out goes to all of them.
Josh Darrow, our sideline guy, talked to us during the game, said that you seemed a little frustrated. It just wasn't happening for you at that time today. But then all of a sudden, you took off. What happened? What was the change?
For sure. I didn't execute on some of my opportunities that I got, and that's just going to keep pushing me each and every single day, because I definitely should have came up with those other three balls. But, there's always room for improvement, right? So I guess that's the room for improvement. I got to get better each and every single day, and yeah.
Talk about this first half, second half. Things were a little choppy in the first half. Second half, you guys came out and scored on five of seven drives.
No, for sure. It was all about execution, honestly. We weren't executing the way that we did on the first two drives. As soon as halftime hit, we, turned it up a notch and just started executing better. That's simple.
Your last, on the touchdown that you had, your big, long touchdown, I don't know if you saw it or not, but Jacoby George really came in there and shielded off some guys and kept them from making a play. But that's just Hurricane football in your room, isn't it?
No, for sure. Another big shout out to a guy like that. Just so relentless, so unselfish. I love playing with Jacoby, because I always know that he's going to get open and that he's going to be super aggressive in the run game. If I could play with him for the rest of my life, I would. Right. So much love and respect for that guy. He's, again, top two best receivers ever to come through here.
Defense today came up with some big takeaways and gave Miami the ball back. It's got to be as important to win as a team as anything, isn't it?
No, for sure. When the defense slacks, we pick it up. When we slack, the defense picks it up, we're playing very, very good complementary football. We have a great group of guys, special teams, kick butt all day, big shout out to those guys as well.
I forgot about this, and I didn't want to. You made a heck of a block in the run game today, too. More than one. But, that's a part of your resume as well. You were going to block as hard as you're going to catch.
No doubt. The main topic in the offense is play super unselfish football, So I told the running backs that whenever they, get a ball on the outside, I'm not going to let my man tackle you. And sometimes, everything's not perfect, but Coach KB, Coach Donovan Varner, Coach Patrick Cooney, they do a great job of emphasizing body on the body in the receiver room. So we take that to heart, as just like we take, receiving to heart.
Xavier, congratulations on your record, but more importantly, congratulations on being undefeated at this time of the season.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that was Xavier Restrepo on Saturday after the game. Mark Fletcher, he did an interview done with Mark Fletcher that was just unbelievable. He's such a great kid. And I think that's what kind of makes this team up, is they've got a lot of really good individuals on this team that collectively made a very competitive, high-level team.
Let's go to Fletcher. He's just, what a positive attitude, what a positive force on that entire football team. I saw him today's Tuesday. We saw him Monday morning and 8 o'clock in the morning. And as always, he's got the big smile on and a great handshake and a how are you doing? And And after going through what he's gone through and how he's handled it, but again, he didn't have to handle it on his own, Joe. That's what people don't understand about what makes this program what this program is, and that it's special, and is that he had, you know, the entire team supporting him through everything, and that's a great thing, and he's a great young man.
Last thing before we go to break, we have West Durham coming up. So this playoff thing, I do believe, is going to be confusing to people because the rankings are different than the seedings. So, for example, Ohio State is ranked number 2. Miami's ranked number 4. But in the seedings, Miami is seeded 3 and Ohio State is seeded 5. And that's because right now Ohio State would not be considered the conference champion. The conference champions, the 4 conference champions, receive the bye. And so you could be ranked lower but seeded higher.
I'm going to just let you figure that out. Not really. Yeah. I've been around you long enough. That's one thing I don't need to be involved in.
And that is going to be, mark my words, that is going to be, moving forward, the big argument of the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference. They are going to want their teams who are ranked higher to be seeded just as high. But in this case, Ohio State, with one loss, is ranked higher than Miami. But Miami would be seeded in the playoff higher than Ohio State.
Yeah, so you go. At the end of the day, and this is Mr. Obvious here, at the end of the day, it does sort itself out because everybody's got to play. You know what I mean? When you look at what you just told me about Bama and Texas and Notre Dame and Penn State and Indiana, there are absolute must-watch. And then you go to the, you know, to the next round, and it's like you said, it's Miami versus Bama or Texas. Who doesn't watch that? I mean, you talk about getting eyes on the television sets. They got that part figured out.
I just want to get it in. At any rate, we'll talk about this and the ACC with West Durham when we continue on the show right after this.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Z, Don Bailey Jr., and excited to have with us our next guest, who is the voice of Atlanta Falcons, the voice of the ACC, the great West Durham is with us. And West, thanks for being with us, and good evening. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Nice to be with you.
What did you do you have any initial thoughts here on this first reveal of the college football playoff, which I think is going to be confusing to a lot of people because the rankings are not going to correlate to the seedings.
Right.
Pretty good news for the ACC. I think they had 4 or 5 teams in the top 25. But Miami right now, if the season ended now, they would be the number 3 seed.
Right, correct. Yeah, the ACC has 5, which is the SEC has 8. But Oregon and Ohio State, 2 teams from the Big Ten, are the first 2 teams in the ranking. The interesting part about this, and believe it or not, I still think people are kind of wrapping their arms around this process. And so tonight they're finding out what you just mentioned for the first time, that even though Miami is the 4 seed, or they're 4th in the poll, they would be the 3 seed when it comes to the bracket. So as we move through this week to week in the month of November, Joe and Don, I think it's going to be interesting to see kind of how the little adjustments occur. But, yeah, for the ACC, look, you've got Miami at 4. You've got SMU on the first number out at 13. You've got Louisville at 22. You've got Pittsburgh at 18, Clemson at 23. So there's still plenty of artillery and still opportunity, especially if you're SMU, to potentially get in the mix before you get to the ACC championship game. And to be honest with you guys, that's kind of the script I've talked about with so many people is, can you get 2 teams playing in Charlotte for the championship? Like if we were to go tonight, Miami undefeated, SMU 1 loss, there would be a possibility, I think, that SMU may have an opportunity, or Miami, the loser of the game, would have a chance to join the winner in the college football playoff, which for me, in terms of following the ACC, is really one of the more important aspects of it, I think.
Wes, you've spent, I believe I had seen that you had done a couple SMU games or been out.
I've done more than,
seen them
I've done more than a couple, Don. I've done more than a couple. I've done four in the last 6 weeks.
Well, then you're the expert.
Secondary voice of SMU.
Yeah.
You're the expert we needed. You know, with our schedule, I'm lucky. I don't know who's on who or where's anybody at, but I do remember that. But yeah. When you watch Rhett Lashley, and we're so familiar with him here, everyone in South Florida realized that he was something special. But what he's doing out there is, in my opinion, you know, he's in a great spot. Let's be honest. Dallas is a great spot to recruit players, and then he's done a good job with Miami players and other players around the country. But what seems to be their magic sauce out there?
Well, I think there are a couple things at play. One, they were ready to make this move when it happened because Sonny Dykes had done such a good job there. Now, remember, Sonny Dykes with Rhett as the OC before he came to Miami, you know, they were kind of already ascending, right, Don? And I think when Sonny took off for TCU, Rick Hart, the athletic director, understood that Rhett was probably ready for this opportunity. And to Rhett's credit and to the credit of his coaching staff, he's gone in there and really built a solid infrastructure. Roddy Jones, who's, as you guys know, is a friend of mine, and we did games together on ACC Network. He did about three or four of their games last year, and he told me, he said, the thing that strikes you about this crowd is that not only are they ready for this, he goes, I think they've got a chance to come in and be pretty good. Now, did we all realize they would, you know, be at this point and be, what, 7-1 and that kind of thing? I don't think we are 8-1 at this point. I'm not sure we thought that, Don, but what we did think was is that offensively they were gifted. Where I think where the metric has changed for me with SMU is I think they're pretty good on defense. In fact, I think they may be top five in the ACC by the end of the year. But they are deep, too. They've got players. And you don't go through the injuries they've had without, you know, having depth. And that's been the other impressive thing about them. Now, did they skate at Durham? Sure. Turn it over six times, find a way to win the game? Oh, yeah. That's a hell of an effort. Now, remember, they turned it over six times, and Duke did not score a point off any of those turnovers. So I'm pretty excited to see what they can do when they get cranked back up next week against Boston College. They've got a road trip to Virginia, and then Cal comes to Dallas to finish the regular season. On paper, I think they're going to finish 11-1. We all know stuff happens, right? But I think they're 11-1. I think they're going to be in the ACC championship game, and I think they're going to be playing Miami because I think Miami is in a really good situation and has gotten through, you know, kind of the difficult part of the schedule to understand now that this thing, and tonight it crystallizes for everybody involved. The first time this thing comes out, in my opinion, now it becomes about what Miami has done so far in this season and to get it to Charlotte and to then kind of assure themselves a place in the playoff.
Wes, in order to get there, Miami's got to come to your city on Saturday to play Georgia Tech. We don't know about the quarterback, but explain to our listeners what Miami's going up against with Georgia Tech.
Well, it's one of two ways, and you hit it on the head, Joe. It's either if Haynes King is playing, Georgia Tech is a different team than if he's not playing. And I don't want to be that dynamic or dramatic about it, but that's the reality of it. When Haynes King is playing, Georgia Tech is a significantly different team. Now, if he plays, where is he on the scale of 0 to 100 with health, right? When you've missed a couple, and he's missed 3 weeks, if you count all the bye weeks and so forth, he's missed not only two ball games, but he's missed 3 weeks with the bye and toe. So for me, if he's ready to go, is he anywhere near 100%? I don't know that. But when he plays, his ability not just to throw the football, but his ability also to be a factor in the run game just helps their entire offense. And they have clearly missed him. In fact, I think they would have won the Virginia Tech game had he played. Their inability to really generate any kind of offensive continuity, I think, hurt him in Blacksburg. But he's a difference maker for them. And when healthy, as you guys know, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the ACC. Their offensive line has been very solid. The run game has been good. But as I said earlier, it's better with him complementing in the throw game. Defensively, they're better, but their numbers are not where they want them to be. In the loss to Notre Dame, they weren't able to get Notre Dame sat down at all in the run game. And against Virginia Tech and against Louisville, turnovers botched any real opportunity. I think they had a chance to win there as well.
Wes, I thought early in the season, of course, Georgia took it to Clemson pretty good, and then Clemson got on a roll, and I'm watching this deal. And then a couple weeks ago, of course, we were at Louisville, and that game worried me before we even got up there. And I was watching Louisville very, very closely, of course, coming into that game. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if we get out of Louisville, we got a pretty good chance to do some stuff. And sure enough, Louisville, I wouldn't say snuck up on Clemson, but they put it on them. And two-part question. How good is Louisville, and what's the status of Clemson? I mean, a two loss already, and who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think the Louisville question, Don, to your point and what you guys saw, is I think Louisville is a very good football team. I think they are top 3-4 in the ACC, right?
Yep.
I think what, you know, Jeff Brohm has done in the portal is pretty impressive when you consider kind of these first 2 years to do it with two different guys, Jack Plummer last year and Tyler Shough this year, right? But to me, where Louisville has changed the game is to get a kid on campus like the Brown kid at running back. I mean,
that's right.
You get somebody like that who is changing everything you think of in terms of the way they run the ball, then something's going on there that's a real positive. I think they've gotten better in the offensive line from last year to this year, and I think defensively they've been steady. I think you guys would understand that, having seen them live. They're steady. I don't think they're going to blow you over. I don't think they're going to hold you to a field goal. I just think they're steady. But for me, what they did Saturday night was they imposed will on Clemson, and not many teams do that, especially not at Tiger Town, right? And so the way I looked at the game now is the way I looked at Clemson. It's more about Clemson than it is about Louisville. You give Louisville all the credit in the world, but at the end of the day, Clemson knows how to win those type games. That's in Clemson's DNA. And the fact that it did not happen, to me, is a sign of maybe, you know, Clemson they picked a bad day to have a bad day. I mean, Clemson lost, Iowa State lost. It was just not a Pitt loss, you know, all these other teams. So then what happens in that, you get lumped in with everybody else. And for Clemson, I think it's a real gut check, to be honest. I mean, because think about this now. Pitt plays Virginia on Saturday. Clemson is going to Pittsburgh next week. And, you know, as big as that Pitt game is, you guys know like I do, the game Clemson desperately does not want to lose is the South Carolina game again for the second time in 3 years. Because if that happens, then we got a lot of issues going on there. But I'm as surprised as anybody else with what I saw from Clemson. And it's going to be equally surprising to see how they respond, I think, next week when they're a Pitt, for sure.
Wes Durham of the ACC is our guest. Wes, if Cam Ward takes Miami to an undefeated regular season, does he win the Heisman?
Does in my book. In fact, I mean, I think it's almost clear cut right now that he's the top guy. Now, you know, we're going to have to couch this a little bit for the, you know, we all know how dramatic November and December can get, right? Guys can have moments, but he had his moments with the – and I told you this, Joe. He had his moments when he had that two-hand push pass in the Virginia Tech game. I mean, anybody throws a basketball chest pass for a completion, it ends up being a damn near touchdown, Don. They that's their moment. But I think the thing that I continue to be really impressed with, including Saturday when I was watching the Duke game, is just the poise he plays with. I mean, his poise – let alone the smoothness and all the things he does as the quarterback of the Canes, but it's his poise. I mean, when it's like all heck to breakfast is going on around him, he figures out a way to keep everybody calm and inevitably flying Restrepo. I mean, good heavens. It's like you think Cam Ward is standing back there. It feels like he's there for 20 seconds, and the next thing you know, here comes Restrepo streaking across the field, and he throws it to him. And I can't imagine the back-breaking feeling that must be for Canes opponents. Because I think Miami's played some good football teams this year, right, guys?
Yeah.
And inevitably, the play that happens is like a third and eight. And Ward takes a snap, And Don, you're laughing because you know I'm right, correct? I mean, he stands
you are. You're 100%
like
right.
10 minutes, he dances to the right. Here come these guys flying at him. He moves back to the left. And I'll be damned if it's not like Restrepo, wide open somewhere. And I'm like, holy smokes, what's this guy do? And I think it's awesome to watch. I think he's – and, Joe, I told you this. I'm a football junkie. I watched him play at Incarnate Word one time in an FCS playoff game. I mean, I thought then, holy smokes. And I'm one of these guys that stays up late, and I watched him at Washington State. And when I heard he was going to Miami, I thought, oh, my heavens. With the guys and the development of the offensive line, this could be really something. And Shannon and his group offensively have done just a terrific job for Miami.
Let me ask you this. 10 weeks ago, or thereabouts, Florida State's number 10 in the country.
Sure.
10, come off a 13-0 and then 13-1 season. And, you know, unfortunately for them, they lost their quarterback, which affected the end of the season. And now
right.
they are a one-win team. What
yep.
what happened and what does happen at the end of this year?
Well, you've played on big-time football teams. So you probably know some of this is beyond the comprehension of the media, the fan base, and everybody else, right? It's about the locker room. So that's one. The part that we can see is, and unfortunately, Don, when they started the season, I wasn't particularly enamored with what I thought was not a very tough football team. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they were physical. I didn't think they could stop the run or run the ball. And, you know, it's funny, the work I do in the NFL, it always comes back to how good are you in the offensive and defensive lines. Because if you're not acceptable, you're going to have to really do some things to get your team to win. And when you do that, you better be lights out at the skill positions. And let's be honest, in the National Football League, as you guys know, in Miami, you got to be really good at quarterback to have that kind of year. That's just the way the league works now. Well, at the highest level of college football, you got to be good at quarterback. And when you're not good at quarterback and you don't have that kind of, you know, internal toughness that I think it takes to be a really good college football team, it's going to be hard to win. And for me, those are the two or three things about Miami. I don't think Mike Norvell's a bad football coach. I don't think any of us do. But when it starts bad and you can't recover it, I mean, Joe and Don, you guys know this, that's a lonely damn feeling for a head football coach. And every once in a while you'll see them play and they show him on the sideline, and it's kind of the look I see from Mike Norvell. It's that lonely, like, man, did we mess this up with a combination of things? And, I don't know that they're going to win again, because Florida certainly took some momentum on Saturday, even losing to Georgia. But, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see kind of how this impacts and what Florida State looks like in 25 for sure.
Wes, always a pleasure to have you. You're in Pittsburgh this week?
I am. Saturday night, Virginia and Pitt, and then next week we're in Chapel Hill for Wake Carolina, and we'll see where the map sends us in the last 2 weeks. I can tell you we've already been to the New Frontier in Stanford, California, and I look forward to getting your boys' report when you go out there for the first time.
Yeah, we've already been to Cal. We went to Berkeley. That was enough for one year.
No. Berkeley's one way. Stanford's the other, Joe. I mean, you've been to the New Frontier, but you haven't been to Palo Alto. You've been to Berkeley. That's two different places, Joe. I don't know that you know that, but we got two spots out there.
We're going there.
Two different planets.
Yeah. Hey, Berkeley. Hey, let me tell you something. Berkeley is not Charlottesville. Is it, Don? We can confirm that, can we?
No.
Yeah.
I can confirm that.
Yeah.
We are one of the schools in the ACC that goes west for football and basketball. So in basketball, we get the double treat. We get Stanford and Cal.
There you go. Yeah. Well, it's the new frontier, boys. We all got to go eventually. As I told those guys in Chapel Hill last night when I opened basketball season in Carolina, I said, yeah, you think you're skating Dallas, Berkeley, and Palo Alto. I got news for you. Eventually, we all got to go, fellas.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. All right, Wes. Thank you very much. We'll see you along the way here somewhere.
I hope so, guys. Be well. Good luck, okay?
All right. Take care.
See you, Wes. Thank you very much.
You bet.
That's Wes Durham joining us. Stay tuned. Larry Bluestein's coming up next. You're going to Atlanta early. Maybe you can find out if Hayden King is going to play.
Yeah, I'm going to be. I land about 7:30 tomorrow night, Joe, and I'm heading right up to Dalton, Georgia.
That's too many Bulldog fans up there. I can't get any intel on Georgia Tech up there.
All right, I'll see you on Friday at the hotel. That's Don Bailey Jr. Thanks to Mario Cristobal for being with us, Jalen Blackman, Danny Rabinowitz, our producer, Trevor Harris, and thanks to Wes Germs.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.